don't see anything on the TV screens. I don't need the logo. The slideshow producer?
Sir, it is on Facebook and every other platform. Can you hear me, Cap?
Yes.
Okay, all praise.
Shalom, good evening. Welcome to the Power Hour Native Latin and Black Lost History and Biblical Topics. I'm your host, Captain Aparium.
Hey, shalom, Ezra, Most High in Christ bless, Captain Amariah.
Shalom, Most High in Christ bless, Officer Solomon.
Welcome, welcome to the show. We appreciate each and every one of you here tonight. We hope everyone enjoyed the feast, Day of Simon.
Bring it out.
We still have an hour of it left here. Also, well, more than an hour, actually.
That's right.
Here in Arizona, but I'm sure in all the other time zones, you guys are pretty much... It's pretty much dark over there, so I pray everyone had a great feast. And again, welcome to the show. So I wanted the producer to put a slideshow that you're seeing right now as I'm speaking. What you're seeing there is the atrocities that the Spaniards committed against the Northern Kingdom of Israel.
A few of them.
Yeah, and make no mistake about it, Southern Kingdom was mixed in there as well. Okay, remember, not all Northern Kingdom came to this side. A remnant stayed behind. And in there you had, I'm getting some feedback. I'm hearing myself after the fact. I'm not sure where that's coming from.
I lowered it. Give me 1 second.
So what Captain is bringing out basically is that also not all Southern Kingdom stayed behind. Some Southern Kingdom, which are the so-called blacks.
That's right.
The people
the
from the
bears
West Indian.
I came over on this side as well.
Right. We always joke with Captain Amariah, right? Because he's from the tribe of Levi, right? Although he looks Northern Kingdom.
Right.
He is from the tribe of Levi.
Right.
And we always joke that he mingled himself amongst...
Yeah.
the ships that came over
here. The spirit definitely bears witness. Yes, I would say so.
So, yeah, so again, and you have to understand that the prophecy needs to fit. All right, so just like as we're going to read and go over on today's topic, the radio show, which, by the way, the name of the topic for today is Hispanics / Latin Americans have and are still oppressed for over 500 years. Hispanics, Latin Americans have been and still are oppressed for over 500 years. And you're going to see what I'm talking about when we get into the show's topic. But understand that the atrocities were so terrible that these Europeans, known as Spaniards, and conquistadors, the atrocities that they committed against all of Israel, right? But today's topic is going to be mainly Northern Kingdom and the indigenous, what they call indigenous to this part of the hemisphere, the Western Hemisphere, what they experienced, okay? And there's plenty of books that state that because they murdered so many of our brothers and sisters, our forefathers, foremothers, old and young, they had to go ahead and bring more Israelites through slavery from the west side of Africa and other parts of Africa. And in the infinite wisdom of the Most High God and his profound wisdom, he set it up that way.
Yep.
All right, because make no mistake about it, the Israelites that came from the western part of Africa, okay, a lot of them were Northern Kingdom. Remember, like I said at the beginning, a remnant stayed behind of Northern Kingdom, and a remnant of Southern Kingdom came as well with the Northern Kingdom when we read that in 2 Ezra 13. Okay, so it's all prophecy. Okay, it's all prophecy. It had to line up. That's the way the Most High. Give me Isaiah 46 and 10 real quick just so we can line it up.
Just the mere fact that Cornelius in the New Testament was Northern Kingdom, that Paul was going out teaching the so-called Gentiles, who Christianity thinks it's anybody, but that was the Northern Kingdom remnant that stayed behind. So vice versa, there was Southern Kingdom that made that trail, or that made that trip as well.
Yeah, very good. Excellent. I mean, that's a great point, right? And again, you won't believe that if you follow Christianity,
right?
Interpretation of the New Testament saying that the Gentiles were all the other nations. Okay, but that couldn't be further from the truth, which is why, again, it was so profound that Apocrypha be taken out of the Bible, because it just leaves hundreds and hundreds of years of proof and information and facts to prove that the Gentiles in the New Testament were talking about the Northern Kingdom and some Southern Kingdom. Goes to show you, right? Because some Southern Kingdom,
yeah, right,
as well. Yeah.
The whole ideal of accepting being a Gentile, right? Even that is accepting just like the crumbs. You know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
Even that is like a destroyed mindset, when the Most High clearly makes a separation between a chosen people and then base people. And you say, okay, as long as I get it as crumbs, it's not the same way that we look at it and say, hey, as long as I'm a doorkeeper in the kingdom of heaven. But it's saying, you know what, you guys are still ends and spicks and everything else.
Right, because that's not crumbs being a doorkeeper in the kingdom.
Exactly.
That's not crumbs at all. So you bring up, that's a very good point you bring out.
It's crazy that people would just even accept that. Okay, you know what? Okay, let me just be a Gentile. To even say that is so base and degrading, it's insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Right. So another, again, that's white supremacy again, right?
Right.
Because that goes to prove the title of the show. You are still oppressed. Mm-hmm. You've been oppressed for over 500 years, and you're still oppressed. Remember, that's the title of the show, whether you believe it or not. Okay, we're going to go over all of that, all right? But one of the slides on the slideshow was the eugenics tree, and that's all modern-day oppression. Okay, it's different forms of modern day oppression, and Lord's will, we have time, we'll go over it. If I don't get to finish this, I plan on continuing this Saturday on the Power Hour. I'll just, you know, if you tune in either live or on a replay, I'm going to go ahead and, because it's a lot I got to cover. All right, and we're going to mainly, the show today is going to mainly cover a book by a Spaniard who was a friar, Frias. Okay, a priest, a Christian priest, Catholic priest, whatever way, it's all the same nonsense.
You were going over all those pages?
No,
okay.
Not today. Probably be a 20-parter.
All praise.
Yeah. No, it's actually, I highlighted a lot of the stuff that I just want to hit, but I don't think I'm going to get through all of this, because, you know, between commentary. And again, the call-in number is 516-531-9797, 516-531-9797. Please feel free to call in with any questions or comments. All right. So we're going to be using a lot of the information of what took place, the atrocities that took place against the Northern Kingdom, primarily from a book called Bartolomé de las Casas. Again, he was a Frias, okay, a friar, a Jesuit. Okay, Jesuit is Latin for crafty ones. All right, and I'm going to show a video here shortly that, like Esau likes to do, they always throw double talk in there. And if you catch it, you catch it. If you don't, you don't. But their thing is we put it out there, you got to catch it. All right,
yep.
So you're going to hear some double talk in the video. But make no mistake about it, this man was a demon. You're going to see what I'm talking about. And he just happened, Mosai just happened to give him an attack of morality at some point, okay? But not really, okay, as you're going to see, all right? Because they paint him to be kind of like having a change of heart type thing.
Right,
all right?
Right.
But before we go in, I want to go over with a script. Give me the one in Jeremiah, okay?
You want Isaiah 46 and 10 first?
Or? Yep, let me get 46 and 10, right? Because like I said, not to lose the, not to lose the thought,
yep.
I said that those so-called slaves, well, not so-called, they were slaves, those slaves that were Israelites that were brought over here as a result of them killing so many here in the Indies, okay, on this part in the Western Hemisphere, the Caribbean, North, Central, and South America, that they had to replace them with more slaves who were, again, according to this scripture that we bring in our hearing prophecy, had to be and were Northern Kingdom, the majority of them, like that.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 46 and verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure.
All right, so Mosiah is telling you straight up, everything in this Bible has, is, and will come to fruition. It will come to pass, everything. And this is the way the Mosiah set it up. Okay, but again, never forget, I got to throw this caveat in there, never forget that we, all of this happened as a result of our rebelliousness. All right, they took it to another level, but, okay, and Mosiah God talks about that, if I'm not mistaken, in Obadiah. All right, he says that basically you destroyed your brother more than I wanted you to.
That's right.
I'm paraphrasing.
That's right.
All right. So, but understand that his counsel will stand, meaning the Bible. His counsel is the Bible. Everything in that Bible is going to stand, will come to pass. It will, and it is, as we're seeing it right now. All right, let's get the other one.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 31 and verse 35. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night.
Right, that's all created by the Most High God, what they're talking about, the sun and the moon, or the ordinances. Go ahead.
Which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name.
Mm-hmm.
If those ordinances depart from before me.
If the sun, the moon, all the ordinances, the sea, the ocean, if they depart before the Most High God, which we know they haven't, they are here, but if they do,
saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever.
Uh-huh, go ahead.
Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath,
Esau has been trying to do, they cannot go any deeper than what they've gone because the Most High has not allowed them to. They will explode. Whatever vehicles they have, and we know they've tried, they explode. You can't measure the depths of the ocean. And they even have movies, right? Journey to the Center of the Earth.
I was going to say, if they can't do it, then they do it to make mockery.
To make mockery.
They can't do it.
Yep.
Because he thinks he's a god.
They cannot do it. It's not physically, scientifically possible. Measure the depths of the earth and of the seas. Go ahead.
If heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord.
For all that they have done. Okay. But just like Captain Amariah just brought out, because they know these scriptures.
That's right.
And this is why they'll make mockery that they have done it. No. No. Okay. We are still here. So that also proves that there's no such thing as, oh, I'm a spiritual Israel. No, you're not. You either is or you isn't.
That's right.
Okay? It's a bloodline.
You is real or you ain't real.
Right.
It's
that's a good one. You is real or you ain't real. Yeah, I like that.
Okay.
I like that. You got bars.
You like it too, right? Like, it's very similar to what you brought out a couple of weeks ago about the Dukes.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
That thing is so heavy.
Mm.
That thing is so heavy because you had to be of that blood lineage to be a Duke. So then why is it any different of any other nation? I ain't talking about just Israel. I'm not talking about just Israel, but you can go to Moabs and that are of a royal lineage, and they'll tell you, I'm of this Zhang dynasty and this. And they have pride in it, too. There's pride in it.
Dude, I've spoken to Persians, and I've asked them. I've said this many times. You're from Elam, right? Yeah, how'd you know?
Yep.
Real proud of it. Ishmael, I've told Arabs. You from your forefather's Ishmael. Yeah, how'd you know? They all know. They all know. But like Isaiah 1 and 3 says, but we doth not consider.
Not only do we not consider who we come from as far as Elam, Ishmael, Moab, but we don't even know who our literal dads are in this time. That's how destroyed we are.
Right. Man, that's true.
That's
you
true,
got that
man.
Right. Wow. Damn. Yeah, that's cool. Jason Israel. Yeah, that is a t-shirt. Yeah, either you Israel or you ain't real. I pray we may have something there. So, again, we're going to be taking a lot of the information from the book Bartolomé de las Casas, A Short Account of the Destruction of the Indies. Okay, so in this book, and then, you know, again, all part of the Crappy Council, they call this part of the earth the Indies. Remember, of course, supposedly
right.
Columbus was coming over here to find a shorter path to India and all of that crap. All right. So, excuse me. Here we go. So go ahead and what did I post there? Let's post the video. Let's show the video first. Of let's see, is that what I want? Give me 1 second here. Do I want to? Yeah, let's start with that. Let's start with that because I'm going to show you the double talk in this video, and I'm going to show you how your ear got to beat it. When you're in the spirit, man, you got to look. When you're in the street, you got to look at things spiritually, man. All right, and you got to put your ear to the ground, man, because Esau, man, remember the scripture says their words are smoother than butter. They'll put you to sleep in a heartbeat, man, and they'll make you think, oh, that they got some type of heart, you know, and compassion for blacks and Spanish Native Americans. That's not true, okay? Go ahead, brother.
It's about 6 minutes long.
Okay. Okay.
Look closely at the imagery, right? A picture's worth 1,000 words and what they say. That light is killing me, but I feel like I'm under interrogation.
Today we remember the life of Bartolomé de las Casas, one of the most important early opponents of slavery and an influential advocate for the rights of Native peoples.
So right off the bat, you already went to sleep with
yeah.
this video. Yeah. But listen.
By the exploitation and physical degradation of the indigenous peoples in the Spanish colonies of the Caribbean. And as a result, he gave up his extensive land holdings and slaves and traveled to Spain to petition the Spanish crown to stop the abuses that European colonists were inflicting upon the natives of the New World. Las Casas rose to become one of the most influential thinkers of his day. He elaborated his views on slavery and the rights of indigenous peoples in numerous tracts, including the extremely popular book, Short Account of the Destruction of the Indies, which was published during his lifetime. Through his actions and writings, Las Casas became an important figure in the development of what we would now call human rights. In 16th century Spain, slavery was a widely accepted practice, although increasingly questioned. Spanish law of the time considered all captives of war as potential slaves, yet there were some important provisos and restrictions. Theologians and philosophers in the school of Salamanca, including the incredibly influential Luis de Vitoria, father of modern international law, restricted this practice only to include captives of war who were not Catholic.
Stop for a second. So if you're buying into this narrator's interpretation of this man.
Go back like 10 seconds, too.
Yeah, go back 10 seconds.
Yeah,
as he's saying all of this, right? That's what I'm saying. You got to listen to the double talk, man. You got to listen to the double talk.
We could have paused that like 19 times already.
But I'm trying to. Trust me, I wanted to.
I was like this.
Okay. No, I know.
Are we not?
I wanted to. Right. And again, this could take 2 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours itself, just this 6 minute video.
Oh, it's crazy.
But remember, he said the Spaniards followed a custom that you became a slave if you were in war with them.
Yeah, right.
We were never at war with them. We were perfectly happy, okay, doing wickedness, of course, right, because that's why the Most High God had to send a nation from afar,
right,
whose tongue we could not understand, which we'll go into here. They came over there and declared war on us.
That's what the scripture says, that his mouth was smoother than butter, but war was in his heart.
War was
not
in his heart.
War was in their heart.
Yeah.
Because
right.
because
that's talking about one particular nation. One
because
person, yeah.
What's the Hebrew word for like Boricua and things like that?
Boricua is the Hebrew word.
Yeah, but like
oh
like,
brave. Oh brave. The interpretation in English?
Yeah, but
brave.
what it means like peaceful ones or whatever.
Oh Taino.
So why would they be called peaceful ones if they were at war with them?
Mm-hmm,
that makes
right.
no sense.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they title them peaceful ones?
That makes no sense whatsoever.
Right. And understand something. If you know history, this is why it's important that you know history. Spaniards, you saw that a lot of they show pictures there of us being burned at the stake, et cetera, et cetera. That was their MO during the Spanish Inquisition. Because remember, and Bishop has gone over this, okay, Bishop Nathaniel has gone over this, Deacon Aitan has gone over this. Spanish Inquisition, that was Israelites that were being murdered during the Spanish Inquisition.
Yeah, right.
Okay, by the Spaniards. Okay?
Bro, let me show you something real quick.
Go ahead.
Just hit play, and then I'll tell you when to hit pause. This man is a demon, bro. Straight up. No, keep going. Keep going.
Including the incredibly influential Luis de Vitoria, father of modern international law, restricted this practice only
Stop.
To include captives of...
Stop. Bro, look what they're doing right there. They have those whips with whatever they are.
That's what they whip Jesus with.
Beating that guy in the chest, right? And then they're melting something over here onto that guy's back.
Yep.
Bro, what type of sick, demonic individual would do something like that?
Yeah, look at – I mean, you got a picture's worth a thousand words, right? So, look, you got to look at it. There's a lot in these pictures. Look at us in the background running. That person got fire on their back, right? That what you're talking about? All the way in the back running?
No. I'm talking about right here in the very front, bottom right. They're melting something, and it's dripping onto that guy's back.
Oh, right there. Right. Yes. But look, doesn't that person on the top look in between in the back? Put the cursor in the back. Isn't that person running? Don't they got fire on them? I can't see with these doggone lights, man.
It looks like it's a woman running.
That's a woman
with
hair?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. But she running, right? Why is she running? She running away from them, not towards them.
But, you know, understand this, though, that this is live action things that someone's illustrating.
And it's super hot because, look, he's holding it with that thing that you hold metal with.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Bro, it's insane. And they're dripping it on his back.
Yeah.
That's not SMN stuff right there, bro. That's like literal real life. Like, what kind of demon will come up with something like that?
Uh-huh. And then they always like to depict us naked or almost naked. They stripped us of our garments, our royal garments that had rubies and gems on them. Okay? They took them from us to take those rubies and gems. And then they had the nerve to call us savages.
Right.
Okay? But even the narrator sounds like he don't even want to tell the story.
Right.
Right?
Insane.
Bro. Yeah, go ahead. Again, stop. That's the same thing that they whipped Christ with. It had the things in the metal. It has metal, pieces of metal at the tips. Mm-hmm. And when you get hit with that, it sticks to your skin. And then they pull it out. It's designed that when they pull it out, skin comes out.
Child nine tails.
Okay. There's no accident that they're using the same exact torture that they
used
on Christ.
It's like, okay, so what would you rather want? That thing being whipped in your chest or having something, whatever that is, being melted on you like that?
No, neither one. Right.
Exactly.
Of course. Right. Choose your poison. Understand also in this same book, if I'm not mistaken, it's in this book, they were hanging us over fire in pairs of 13.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, 12 for the disciples and one for Christ. So they knew who we were. Obviously, we know that. Okay, so they were whipped doing the same exact torture. And then understand also that the Spaniards derived from the Romans. They spoke Latin. It's the same. They're Edomites. It's the same nation. Okay?
Category of people who could be enslaved included Lutherans.
Look, chopping their hands off. Didn't they also do that to the Southern Kingdom that couldn't get enough rubber? That's their M.O., man. This is how Esau thinks, man.
The one right there in the very front, he already has a hand missing and a nose missing, and now he's getting his other hand chopped
off. Because you notice, right, they were cutting off the nose too. I wouldn't be surprised. That's where the expression comes from. He's going to cut his nose to spite his face.
Yep.
Because a lot of those things, those adages, those sayings, there's a lot of truth in them. And they get them from some maniacal stuff,
And then again, Esau making mockery, you know, he puts in his movies. That movie Year One when they go and they're part of the garden. I think it's in like Sodom and Gomorrah. And then he says, "Well, what do? Oh, we just walk around and we punish people. You know, like a hand or a finger or ear or a nose. Pretty much anything that you can just kind of grab onto and just chop off. That's making mockery of what they did to our people."
What's the dude in the back holding? What's he have? He has something in his hands. I can't. This damn light. I can't see anything.
Which back? The left or right?
To my right. The upper right.
That's a knife that he's putting into his eye.
Putting it in his eye. Look at that. Look at the thought. By the way, these pictures are actual pictures that the man that they're talking about drew.
Yeah, right. So how can he be against this if he's standing there drawing it?
Right. He drew,
rather
he,
than stopping them.
Right. Drew it in detail too. Look at the butt crack,
yep.
The breasts, the definition on the body, you know, the abs. He drew this. They didn't remember. They didn't have photography back then.
Yeah, right.
He painstakingly drew all of this. That means that he had to, as this was going on, he's drawing. Those of you that are artists, you know what inspires you to draw and how you put it on paper.
Listen, if you're there and you're, let's say you're about to watch someone get jumped by people and you say, no, this is wrong. What do? You jump in and
right.
Say, no. Now, this is a whole different level, you know, obviously. But he wouldn't have stood there if he was so against it. And like you said, painstakingly drove into its detail to where now we have these things today.
Right. That's a good point you bring out, right? Because you should be so appalled by this that you can't even draw. But that means he was delighting. This is what I'm talking about, the double talk. You won't draw nothing. They'd be like, if you were really against it, they told you draw this, you'd be like, hell no, I ain't drawing nothing.
Yeah, right.
You're going to have to kill me. No, but he wasn't really about that. It's a lie. Go ahead, play. This is amazing.
Muslim Turks, Orthodox Slavs, non-Catholic Africans, and native peoples of the New World. In addition, there existed the legal idea modeled on Islamic laws regarding captured peoples, which allowed non-Catholics to convert instead of becoming slaves.
Well, and that part, stop, that part was true, okay? If you didn't, we see many pictures about the Hualpa, which was one of the caciques, meaning the kings of the Northern Kingdom, okay, burning to a stake because he refused, and they're holding a cross in front of him. That's a very infamous picture that we've all seen. Go ahead.
Despite these legal caveats.
Stop.
Spanish conquest.
I want y'all to notice, okay, the different color skin colors, right? Different skin colors. Some dark, some light, okay? And then also, look, those are dogs that they – that practice is still used today with the police department, okay? They only really do it with Jake. I've only seen it with Jake, okay? Our people are so traumatized with this. I've seen it. I've seen it, okay? Personally experienced it. All the cop got to say is, don't make me get the dog. And they jump out of windows. Okay, officer, you got me.
Damn.
Okay? They've been used. This is why I say we've been oppressed for over 500 years and still are. They still use this. This is still a practice that they implement. During the Watts riots, they used dogs on us.
Yep.
The civil rights movements, they used dogs on us. Where do they get that from? It's in their spirit. Okay, their spirit is not upright, it says in Habakkuk. And they take pleasure in looking at them all standing around while this. Who does that?
That's the same thing that you see in the black and whites from the 60s when people are hanging.
Yes.
People pointing at the pictures.
It's the
right.
Same thing because it's the same spirits. The Spaniards are the same people. And yes, okay, I myself thought I was from Spain because I didn't know any better.
I get it.
Okay,
I,
and I was
I,
claiming
I,
that
I get it.
Until I freaking found out, hey, something don't seem right. A lot of Northern Kingdom think that, okay, because you got Spanish last names. No, you got slave last names, just like Southern Kingdom has slave last names.
That's because it says, thou even thyself shall be discontinued from thy heritage. So if you have no heritage, then you want to cleave to something, anything, to have a sense of
That's
pride.
Right. That's right, because we're told we're nothing, right? So anything we could try to adjust with, all right? If the Caucasian man or woman accepts us, we jump on that bandwagon. Oh,
right.
Well, they accept us,
right.
So I'm going to try to do everything to please them. And if you get, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
Right.
We start saying that to our own people. Go ahead.
Conquerors enslaved large groups of the newly encountered indigenous peoples in the Americas, working many of them to death in fields.
Look at us. That's a head off over there in the lower right.
Las Casas arrived on the island of Hispaniola, what is today Haiti and the Dominican Republic.
Stop.
In 15-
it was not called Hispaniola.
Yes.
They gave it that name. It was called Quisqueya, okay, which means Tierra de Oro. Land of gold. That's what Quisqueya means. That's the name. It's a Hebrew word that Simeon, okay, and Levi gave to that island. Okay, they went ahead and changed it again. They named streets after themselves. They named lands after themselves. They had to change it to erase our history. Okay, it's all part of Psalms 83, the crafty crown. So you got some?
Oh, do you want that scripture?
Huh? Well, we could. Well, just hold on to it. Go ahead.
He soon became a land and slave owner.
Stop.
Joining military
activities. How the hell?
Thank you. Thank you.
You know where I'm going with this.
Yes, bro.
They're depicting this man as having a change of heart.
Is that supposed to be him again?
That's him again.
All the pictures, he looks so innocent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'm going to go even deeper than that.
He really cares.
I'm going to go even deeper than that. How could you claim that you are for us and against that brutality with that cross in your hand?
Freedom!
Go back. Go back.
But he's so emotionally torn.
Go back like not even 10 seconds. Go back like 5 seconds. Listen to what they say. Watch this. Watch this. Right there.
Dominican Republic in 1502. He soon became a land and slave owner.
Stop.
Joining
I'm glad because I forgot. When I saw this, I caught that. And I forgot because I didn't take any notes.
How can he be against any of this, but then he became a slave owner?
Slave, right? Land and slave owner. Whose land?
Exactly.
Our land.
Right. He was okay with the taking of the land and the enslaving the people.
In the name of Christianity.
There it
goes back to the cross.
Well, if I don't steal it, somebody else will.
Right. I'm doing this in the name of the Lord. Right? That cross, this picture speaks 1,000 words if you're in the spirit and you see it. What he said and what he's holding in his hands are contrary to what they're trying to make this man, portray this man to be. Contrary.
Mm-hmm.
And he has Caesar on it, right?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Military expeditions against the native peoples and becoming a priest in 1510. However,
stop.
After Las Casas
is... This is exactly what they also did in the Spanish Inquisition.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's the same M.O. These are the same doggone people that did the same thing to the Israelites that were living in Spain. We were scattered. That was after 1453 as they started taking... 1453 was when they finally went ahead. And like it says Obadiah? Okay, they would come back.
Oh yeah.
And Obadiah, right?
And then they came. It started with Constantinople,
right?
And then Spain, and
right.
They slowly took over basically all of Europe,
right? But from 193 to 1453 AD, we were running stuff. But little by little, towards the latter years leading up to 1453, they started again because of our rebelliousness and going on. Most High allowed them to start killing us and committing these atrocities. All right, go ahead.
Participation in the violent and destructive Spanish invasion of Cuba in 1513, he began to view European interference in native affairs as illegal and immoral. He began his petitions in May of 1515 and continued writing them until his death in 1566, as he cajoled, shamed, and begged the Spanish crown to end its practices
Stop.
Of violent invasion.
Stop. So from 1515 is when he wrote until his death until... 1566. That's 51 years. You telling me he wasn't living deliciously and lovely and lavishly on a land that wasn't his with slaves?
Free labor.
Come on, man.
Free labor. And then they tip you, all of a sudden you get a tackle morality?
Yeah, right. Come on.
Go ahead.
And enslavement. The Spanish government in return treated Las Casas' pleas with ambivalence.
Can you raise the volume on the video? They're saying it's low.
Indigenous enslavement. Was so very okay. Profitable.
Look at this. All right. All tied up. That's kind of like
the
trail of tears.
Las Casas himself changed his rhetoric over time as he and his argument matured. For instance, he originally advocated the use of African slaves instead of indigenous Americans because Spaniards considered them to be hardier than natives.
Stop. So again, you see how craftily they threw in dark-skinned people, supposedly, right?
Yep.
Southern Kingdom, how they bring in Southern Kingdom. They make that separation. This is what has a lot of Northern Kingdom believing in the Caribbean, in Puerto Rico especially, that no, we're not them.
Yeah, right.
They came from Africa. We're not them. Just then because they claim in Puerto Rico, I could tell you this firsthand, to be part of the Yoruba tribe, which we know is another name for Northern, for Ephraim.
Yep.
Okay, and they are right next to Igbos, okay, which is another one for Southern Kingdom, for Judah.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, when it comes to your African, they don't want to claim it. You're an Israelite. They don't want to, it just doesn't, they don't, it doesn't jive with them. You know, it doesn't jive with them. All right, but this is part of the divide and conquer craftiness.
Yep.
Okay, right away, again, you'll fall asleep. If you know the kingdom looking at this and you don't know the spirit, you don't know the truth, you'll be like, oh, well, you see, did it to the Negroes only. You know, they had to change their heart with us. Notice how they're trying to portray this.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Oh, he felt bad with us, so he stopped. This is what they're trying to do. So the hell with the Negroes. Mm-hmm. That's the mentality that they're trying to create with this crap. Go ahead.
In fact, African slaves often did have higher survival rates in the early years of invasion because of their tolerance to European diseases due to old world exposure. Indigenous American peoples died quickly of such old world illnesses as malaria and smallpox.
Wait, stop. No, stop. They said their tolerance was stronger due to old world what?
Experience
exposure. Mm-hmm. Yes, because Deuteronomy 28:64 said we were going to be scattered throughout the four corners of the world. We weren't just a native to Africa.
Right.
We were all over, right? Predominantly Israel, because Jerusalem was our homeland.
Right.
Go ahead.
Those fringes.
Yeah, look at the fringes on his garment.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Look at the fringes on the garment. Look at the tabernacles in the back.
Freedom!
In the back, right there. Okay. Go ahead.
Your immunity. Europeans in the 16th century had no understanding of inoculation or immunity and assumed that Africans were just naturally better suited for labor.
Stop. Why? Why did they assume that? Because they knew we were God's chosen people. They knew our history. They know our history. They knew we helped build the Valley of Kings in Egypt.
Because they knew Genesis, when it says that one nation shall be stronger than the other.
That's the other one, too. Absolutely.
Esau knows his Bible. Not the way that we know the Bible.
Right.
But they know the Bible.
They know who's who.
Exactly.
They know who everyone is, trust me. Yep. Which is why, again, part of their craftiness was they had to divide even the Edomites. By calling them Russians, Polish, right? Ukrainians, British, French, Spaniard, to keep us confused. That's all part of the crafty council. Right underneath our nose, this has been taking place.
Well, they had to come up with at least 12 alternative names so they could make their own 12 tribes chart.
Bruh.
Remember that? Remember that chart?
Yeah.
The Swedes were Issachar.
Oh, yeah. Esau's Britain or something like that. I don't know. Some craziness. Anyway, go ahead. Play.
Right to their race. Making this argument, Las Casas may have inadvertently provided the Spanish government endorsement of the new idea of slavery based on race, rather than the medieval concept of slavery as a result of war and conquest. Later in his life, Las Casas advocated that all slavery be abolished. But the burgeoning European empires paid little attention to this moral idea when so much wealth and power was at stake.
Stop. Again, it was a business.
Right.
It was a business for them. They did not care. Like you said, free labor. Okay, free labor. Go ahead.
Well, he said later in his life, meaning if I can't have them, then no one else can. Here I am on my deathbed. I live deliciously for all these years with this free labor and these Negroes and whoever. If I can have them, no one else can.
That's what later in his life means.
Yeah, exactly.
He enjoyed it in his youth.
Set them free.
Yeah, set them free. Right, exactly. Hey, that's the what do they call that? Hyssop's fable.
Yeah, right.
I didn't want those grapes anyway.
Yep.
You know. Go ahead.
Las Casas also later advocated that indigenous groups be allowed self-governance under the Spanish crown. His argument drew upon theologians and moral philosophers such as Thomas Aquinas and Aristotle. The Spanish bureaucracy, however, viewed this question through an understanding of Islamic law, which granted non-Muslims the use of their own courts and legal justice system. Casas's ideas
percolated
the Spanish legal system, and indigenous peoples were ultimately allowed to adjudicate in legal cases that involved only the native population. In cases that involved the Spanish government, they could use the court systems with an advocate known as a protector, who would represent their interests and offer judgments based on traditional indigenous customs. They could use these indigenous practices as long as those customs were not deemed heretical or against the Catholic faith.
Is that IHS? ISIS Harvest
himself was appointed the first protector.
I-N-R-I.
Until his death,
look at it. Stop. Stop.
De Las Casas.
Stop. Pause. Look at that picture. What does he have on his wrist? The Gadite, or the Northern Kingdom, by the way, because
shackles.
Shackles. And he's back again. That go. Give me Ecclesiastes 10. The father
the hell
again.
Is this?
Is it 10 to 7?
Give him what he wants. That's crazy.
Let this picture marinate right there. Look at that thing while we're reading the scripture.
What's all about the servants?
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 10 and verse 7. I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking as servants upon the earth.
Servants upon horses. Right? Horse just means rulership. Okay? So you say, oh, I don't see a horse here yet. Who is at the bottom and who is at the top? Right? Go ahead.
Verse 5. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceedeth from the ruler.
This is an error. The chains are supposed to be on the Edomite. Go ahead.
Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in a low place.
The rich, that's us. He's in a low place, literally and figuratively. All right, so let's, again, still looking at that picture. Give me Deuteronomy 28 and read 1.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28 and verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high, above all nations of the earth.
But if we didn't, this is what was going to happen right here.
Give me 43.
Again, look at this picture. Picture's worth 1,000 words, man.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28 and verse 43. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high.
This is what you're seeing here right now. And you know that was his slave, because if it wasn't his slave, why does he still have chains on? If he really had a change of heart, why is this picture depicting him with chains on? I thought he was against slavery. And that ain't bling. That's actual chains. That was his slave. You see, this is what I'm saying. There's double talk. If you ain't in the spirit, you're going to miss these things. Is that it on it?
And thou shalt come down very low.
Very low, literally and figuratively.
Wow.
Okay, literally and figuratively. Go ahead, play it.
Work tirelessly to prevent the enslavement of all native people.
Oh, yeah, we could tell he worked tirelessly to prevent it.
Wholeheartedly, his advocacy of African slavery. Indigenous and black activists and protesters for more than 500 years have taken up his arguments to push for changes to the systems that have made them second-class citizens. As we look around the world today at the legal and economic situation of many indigenous communities, one wonders what Las Casas would make of it all and how much further we need to go.
Stop. Trust me, they knew that they were doing that to the children, God's chosen.
Hands down.
To the
yes,
Israelites.
Sir.
No doubt about it, because he was a priest, right? So it means he read the Bible. He knew that this was that we were the Israelites, just like Columbus knew. Okay? So you got something?
No.
Okay.
I was looking.
So let's go ahead and give me the Wikipedia. Bartolomé de las Casas Wikipedia. Right? Remember I said it was double talking there. Let's see what Wikipedia has to say about this demon.
Hold on.
All right. So it says Bartolomé de las Casas. 11 November 1484. He died in 18 July 1566. So I want you to notice the date, right? Because when did Columbus land at this part over here? 1492, right? Mm-hmm. So he was what? 8 years old? Columbus came here?
Yep.
You think he didn't know about Columbus and what he did in his voyages?
Yeah.
Okay. You think Columbus didn't know that, and they didn't know that we were the Israelites? He had to convince them some way, somehow.
Columbus
right?
was the, was at that time, the Mike Jordan, right?
Yep.
Like,
yep.
People like him from where they were from want to grow up and be just like him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's absolutely correct. So it says, was a 16th century Spanish landowner, friar, priest, and bishop, famed as a historian and social reformer. Lies. He arrived in Hispaniola as a layman, then became a Dominican friar and priest. He was appointed as the first resident bishop of Chiapas and the first officially appointed protector of the Indians, in quotation marks. Okay? His extensive writings, the most famous being A Short Account of the Destruction of the Indies and Historia de las Indias, chronicle the first decades of colonization. Again, look at the words.
Yep.
Of the West Indies, all of Central, North Central, South, and the Caribbean Islands, America. He described the atrocities committed by the colonizers against the indigenous peoples. Let's see here. Arriving as one of the first Spanish and European, for you Northern Kingdom that think that Spanish are not Europeans, okay? Yes, they're Edomites, Europeans. Spain is in Europe. Settlers in the Americas, Las Casas initially participated in, but eventually felt compelled to oppose the abuses committed by colonists against the Native Americans. Again, going back to the drawings of these pictures.
Yep.
If you really feel some type of way about what's going on, you would not draw perfectly nice pictures like that. That's some serious detailed art.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't leave nothing out. He didn't leave nothing out. I'll give you an example. Give me the picture. Okay, hold this here. Give me the photo that I sent you. It's the one I sent separate. It was the last one I sent. I said, add this with my... You know what you want to talk about? They're cooking something.
Sir, let me pull it for you.
Yep, put that up. And I want y'all to look at this picture real quick. And then I also want you to, you can find a bunch of versions of this book that we're going to reference here shortly. Ptolemy de las Casas, a short account of the destruction of the Indies online in PDF form. I went ahead and post the link for the PDF form. Maybe the brothers and sisters that are watching, the viewers that are watching, may want to take a look at it later. I highly recommend you do. The one I'm going to be reading from is actually an original copy. The one that I posted there, it's more kind of like a breakdown. All right. It doesn't leave anything out. In fact, I looked at it. It's pretty thorough. Okay. But it's broken down into sections. That's not the one. It's the one that they're cooking something like on a barbecue pit. And the guy's holding an anchor.
Not cooking his feet, but cooking something.
Right. Crazy, but even this. Look at that.
Crazy, bro.
It was one of the last, it was the last one before the eugenics that I sent on the Telegram.
All the more the reason why you want to get yourself right with the Lord. That way when he comes back, you could be changed and get vengeance under his hand for the atrocities that we're seeing here on this screen,
right,
man.
Right, because you ain't got the vengeance ain't coming now.
That's right.
Not in this body.
No way. No way, no how.
You could also...
Okay, blow that up a little. So this man was so disturbed about what was going on that he depicted the baby being cooked.
Damn.
On the grill.
I didn't see that.
I was studying this whole thing. Let's look at all of this. Okay, let's look at this. The guy in the back, let's start from there. He has one of his relatives' head in his hands. He's in agony in his right hand. Look at it. You see it? To the left, the guy all the way to the left in the bottom. See him with the hand in the... And he's holding the arm of a relative.
Yep.
Okay, they're all in agony here, right? The baby is being cooked on the grill. In the background, you see arms and legs. They're hanging them as trophies. With the woman in agony crying because probably their child's arm and leg is on there.
Mm-hmm.
Who does this? But this is Jeffrey Dahmer stuff, man.
Yeah, right.
Again, we don't eat people. Esau does. That's just how maniacal their mind is. I'm going to read here shortly. He's carrying an anchor from a ship. That holds down a ship in the ocean. Forcing him to carry an anchor. I'm going to read what that anchor did to them. But he had a problem with all of this.
Mm-hmm.
I would never be able to draw this, seeing this. And he saw it live, not even on video. And he had to be that close to draw that. I'm sure he felt the flames,
mm-hmm.
heard the baby crying, the mother crying in agony. And the smell, that's the other thing. But they were smelly anyway, so it didn't really matter to them, right? I mean, you get immune to...
Yeah. Well, I'm referring to, like, the flesh, you know, cooking.
No, I know what you're referring to, but they're so nasty, man.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Fair.
And then, but after all that, now a change of heart.
No, he was reveling in that because they're evil. Their spirit is not upright. They
Thank
love
you.
All
right.
of this.
There
man.
You go.
And they encourage themselves in a wicked
right.
manner. That, what I was going to bring out earlier is I could see with what you're bringing out that the men who are carrying out this and he's drawing it, they were probably encouraged because of the fact that he's drawing it in such vivid detail that they were one-upping. You know, they were trying to...
It was that day's like selfie and like whatnot,
right?
Right. You
right.
Know?
Yeah. Well, but guess what? I'm going to read what you just said.
Oh, I'll praise
you. I'm going to read what you just said. All right. So...
He says, this is page 41. They were competing to take better pictures of drawings.
Right. So let's get into the book a little bit here. Let's get into the book. What time is it? Bye, ready? Jeez. Okay. So if y'all want to kind of read along with this, what's on your screen now, I'll do my best to give you what the title of the chapter is. I mean, it's a lot there. Okay, I'm going to read. Like I said, I have the original copy of the book here in front of me. This is like, again, very detailed, but it's more of a, it's broken down differently. All right, so I'm going to cover the province and kingdom of Guatemala. Interestingly enough, we were talking about Guatemala on the last Power
That's
Hour
right.
show with yep. Harvest of Empires.
Yep.
Okay, so it says, another occupation in which the natives perished wholesale was shipbuilding. They perished wholesale. For a distance of 130 leagues from the Atlantic to the Pacific, he had natives, meaning he, that man, Edom, is this the man from Isaiah, right? He had natives carry anchors weighing 3 and 4 quintales. There's a number here. The Imperial Spanish weighed 100 pounds. A quintale weighed 100 pounds. This weighed 400 pounds.
No, that's crazy.
That picture we saw of our forefather was carrying a 400-pound anchor.
It's a car.
Check this out.
I know.
So heavy were these that the flukes of the anchor would bite deep into their bare shoulders and backs. He used these same naked and defenseless people to transport cannon overland. That was for artillery, kind of faded here. That's what the overland is, okay? And I myself saw men, this is him saying this, okay, Bartolomé de las Casas, the one that had a change of heart. And I myself saw many of them stumbling along in agony, you think? You think? He broke up families, dishonoring the native men by taking their wives and daughters and keeping the goodwill of his fighting men and his mariners by letting them carry off the women on board their vessels. Give me Deuteronomy 28. We're going to be 32 and 41.
Hey, real quick, is this being shown on the screen or is it the...
No, I didn't take photos of this. So
this
is the book that explains it. That's why I gave the title of the chapter.
No, but like there was like a link that like you had put up and we were following that as far as the reading. There it goes.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. And put the link in the chat so they can see it at their leisure as well. Go ahead, brother.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28 and verse 32. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long. And there shall be no might in thine hands.
And understand, Columbus first got there with just 40 conquistadors. All right, and yeah, we whipped their behind a little bit at the beginning, but then they came back with more. They came back deep. Okay? And again, like it says in the scriptures, all right, there'll be no might in our hand. We could have taken them over. Just like in slavery, it was one Edomite on a horse
mm-hmm. yep.
and hundreds of us. But none of us dared to do anything. That was prophecy. 41.
Verse 41. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity.
All right, they shall go into captivity. That's it on that?
That's it on that one.
He loaded his boats to the gunwales with natives, and his greed was such that all on board perished of hunger and thirst. And if one were to set out in detail all the atrocities he committed, they would make a very weighty tone indeed, and one which would truly shock the world.
Bro,
this is shocking. And this was a game for them. He mounted two expeditions by sea, each consisting of many vessels, and with these he scorched the whole region as though he were the avenging fire sent from heaven.
We Deuteronomy 28, and I think I want Nation from Far. What is that, 49?
49. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 49. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flyeth.
Who was going to do this?
The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far.
Stop. It says, and with these he scorched the whole region as though he were the avenging fire sent from heaven. Yeah.
Actually, wow.
He was the avenging fire sent from heaven because of our iniquities. Got some?
Yeah. This is Psalms chapter 17, verse 13. O rise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. The wicked is his sword. So he was that sword that was cast down from heaven.
And we know the wicked, according to Malachi 1 and 4, is Edom, Esau. Okay? It says, oh, if one were to catalog all those offered by him. Isn't that Lamentations?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Get that real quick.
Five.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Book of Lamentations, chapter 5. And verse 3, we are orphans.
We are orphans. This Bible's a true book, man.
Bro, I'm telling you.
This Bible was written thousands of years before this book was written. What does it say?
We are orphans and fatherless.
Orphans and fatherless. He just said it here. Oh, if one were to catalog all those orphaned by him, why were they orphaned by him? Because he killed our parents. We were fatherless, according to the scriptures. That's what happened. They mourn it.
Our mothers are as widows.
Our mothers are as widows for the same reason. He said, all those whose children he stole, all those whose wives he took, all the woman he widowed, it says here. Didn't we just read that in the scripture?
Dang.
And the adultery, violence, and rape.
It's in the same order.
Yeah.
As the scripture.
Yes. He knew these scriptures too. Okay, this is the Pearl Coast, Bahia, and Trinidad. Okay. From what was once the heavily populated coastal area of the Bahia Peninsula, over 2 million souls have been kidnapped. 2 million! And taken to the islands of Hispaniola and Puerto Rico to be sent down the mines or put to other work. There, as did those of whom we spoke earlier, they perished in droves. It is a heart-rending sight to travel along that coast, once so fertile and so populous. And interestingly enough that he says that, the word Cuba is a Hebrew word, which means tierra fertil, fertile land. And to see it as it is today, totally abandoned and left to go to wreck and ruin. It is a fact beyond dispute that wherever one of these vessels set sail, loaded to the gunwales with natives who have been rounded up and forcibly embarked, at least a third of the poor wretches perish during the voyage and are thrown overboard. And one has also to remember that many are killed before they ever get as far as the ship. Many didn't even make it to the ships. The reason the death toll is so high is that in order to maximize profits, the men who finance these slave fleets, get Deuteronomy 28, 48,
yep,
and 68 for a minute, okay? arrange for the vessels to carry nothing in the way of victuals except a basic minimum for the crew. And so there is hardly any food or water for the poor prisoners who, as a consequence, perish from thirst and hunger and are consigned to a watery grave.
The hell is this?
One witness told me personally that on a voyage from the Bahamas, so I want you to understand, Trinidad was just mentioned, Bahamas.
That's right.
We are all over. Some of you that are from the Bahamas may be Northern Kingdoms.
Bring it out.
Some of you from Puerto Rico may be Southern Kingdom. The spirit bear witness with your spirit that you're the children of God.
Mm-hmm.
And you are the tribe that what your father is as of right now.
And then that pride that you may have now of wanting to be tethered to that particular tribe,
right.
You know, guess what? That goes away that day. That day is a win. It's a wailing and gnashing of teeth. Man, I don't care what gate I get as long
That's
as
right.
I get a gate.
That's right. That is right. It says that on a voyage from the Bahamas where many natives had been rounded up to Hispaniola, a distance of 60 or 70 leagues, one vessel which was navigating without a compass and with no chart of the region kept its only by reference to the string of dead bodies wallowing in its wake.
Jeez.
They followed the bodies that were floating on the ocean from the Bahamas. That was their compass. That was their breadcrumbs, like you will.
Yep.
Later, the spectacle of these poor creatures disembarked on the island where they are to be sold. Sold. Northern Kingdom was also sold. Is enough to break the heart of anyone with a spark of human feeling. They are naked and so weakened by hunger that many, old and young alike, men and women, simply drop where they stand. Let's read Deuteronomy 28:48-68.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28 and verse 48.
48 and 68.
Therefore, shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness.
We just read all of that, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee.
Okay. I'll continue. Then they are split up into groups of between 10 and 20, like so many sheep being driven to market. Okay. And again, what did Christ call us? What are we called in the Bible in the New Testament? Sheep.
Yep.
Right? My sheep hear my voice.
Yep.
Like so many sheep being driven to market. A parent is parted from a child, a woman from her husband, and lots are cast as a way of apportioning the little flocks between the wretched amadores, the individuals who originally pooled resources to charter the two or three vessels that make up the slave convoy, and those who actually sailed to the native villages and took part in a rout up of itself. Give me Joel 3 and 3.
Oh,
that's fair, yeah.
And then Deuteronomy 28:32-41.
Then how come you weren't there?
The book of Joel, chapter 3 and verse 3. And they have cast lots for my people.
Stop. And lots are cast as a way of apportioning the little flocks between the wretched amadores. Go ahead.
And have given a boy for an harlot and sold a girl for wine that they might drink.
Mm-hmm. You got something, Cap?
No.
Okay.
That was it. Right on point. Yeah.
Deuteronomy 28:32, and then we're going to be 41.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 32. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long.
Then they are split up into groups of between 10 and 20, like so many sheep being driven to market. A parent is parted from a child, a woman from her husband, and lots are cast. Read that again.
Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long. And there shall be no might in thine hand.
Okay, we couldn't do nothing about it. 41.
Verse 41, thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity.
Into slavery. And again, those of you that may be listening to this show on live now for the first time or on the replay for the first time, we're reading the book of Deuteronomy in 28 and 15 through 68. You will see the curses that us blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans have presently and will continue to experience until we repent as a nation. 144,000, according to Revelation 7, of the men are sealed, 12,000 from each tribe. Okay, and one-third starts following these laws, statutes, and commandments of the nation of Israel. So I guarantee you, your pastor didn't make these comparisons and these cross-references.
I got something, Cap.
Okay.
Give me Isaiah 43 and verse 3.
Did you finish 41?
41? Yes, I did.
Okay, good.
Isaiah 43 and verse 3, because we read in this demon's freaking monologue that he put together exactly, his diary, his living proof that of the atrocities that they did to our people. But he said that they would cast lots, and then we back that with the scriptures in Joel about them casting lots for our people, right? But read this, Isaiah 43, verse 3.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 43 and verse 3. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee.
So this is a small example of how much love the Lord has for the nation of Israel, that he's willing to sacrifice whole nations in order to redeem us and be our ransom. That way we can receive that salvation, no different than what's going to happen today. But watch, read the next verse. This is the point that I want to make. Read the next verse, verse 4.
Since thou wast precious in my sight,
read,
thou hast been honorable, I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life.
The Bible says that the Israelites are precious in God's sight. So who is this man to cast lots and put a value on a life that God says is precious?
Selling God's property.
That's what I'm saying. There's going to be a judgment for that thing. For him to say, okay, $400 sold to Master Charles, whoever, or even before that, what they were doing, following the same thing.
To Señor Cortés, right? Because we always say Master Charles, right? Because we keep in it, but let's
right.
Bring it.
They're putting a price on a life that God says is precious and is invaluable. Bro, there has to be a judgment for that thing.
Hey, no, the Kingdom brothers and sisters, I just brought up an example. $400 sold to vendido al Señor Cortés.
That's right.
And now you became Cortez, Juan Cortez.
And take pride in that thing, man.
Yep. Now you became Raheem Johnson.
That's right. Dang.
Can't make this up, man. You done with that script?
Yep.
I'll continue. If a man finds himself allotted a flock in which there is an old man or in which someone is sickly, his response, meaning Esau's response, is normally to the devil with this old man. No, dude, you're the devil.
Yeah.
Okay? And hell, that lake of fire is waiting for you. Why make me take him? I suppose you want me to bury him? Why should I take this sickly one? Am I to waste my substance on curing him? Reactions like these serve to give some idea of what the Spanish think of the native people. Two totally different people, Northern Kingdom. They were your oppressors and are your oppressors. You are God's chosen, the Israelites. And how closely they obeyed that commandment to love one's neighbor that underpins the law and the books of the prophets. Cruelest and most damnable things in the whole of creation is the way in which the Spanish use natives to fish for pearls. Yep. The life of a pearl fisher in these conditions is worse than any other on the face of the earth. So if you got that title, if you were chosen, that was a bad job.
That was like carrying the radio back in like World War One.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, right. It was like, okay, whoever had the radio or the flamethrower.
Yep, or a tunnel rat in Vietnam.
It was done.
You were done, bro. You were done. Wow. Yep. The life of a pearl fisher in these conditions is worse than any other on the face of the earth. It is even more dreadful and more terrible than that of the native gold miner. Ghastly, though, that undoubtedly is they are in the water from dawn to dusk, in salt water from dawn to dusk, often operating at depths of 4 and 5 fathoms. I got to believe that's deep. I don't know what a fathom is. I don't see the thing. But
while you read, oh, look.
Okay. 4 or 5 fathoms. I could swim, but I ain't swimming in no 4 or 5 fathoms all day. That means they were not allowed to come up.
So five fathoms would equal 30 feet.
That is ridiculously deep.
Mm-hmm.
20 to 30 feet looking for pearls for them.
Bro, just like, for those that may not understand, think of it like when you go swimming in a pool and they're usually, what, 6, 7 feet and your ears start to hurt?
Yep.
They were going down 30 feet.
Dude, if you're just in a pool just for a couple of hours, mm-hmm. you're drained and you're exhausted. And that's not even salt water.
Right.
But check this out. Seldom are they permitted to surface for air, which means we were good swimmers.
Yeah, right.
But must spend their time swimming underwater and tearing at the oysters in which pearls grow. That's a task in and of itself.
This lets you know that Judah can be all 12 tribes because
yeah,
Judah don't swim, bro.
I was thinking that. Yeah.
Southern Kingdom don't swim, bro.
Bruh.
Benjamin Dudo.
I mean, yeah. I can swim really well.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But then again, I was also on that same island of, you know, Hispaniola.
Yeah,
so.
David said in Psalms that he was afraid for the waters that come past him.
Ah, you funny, bro. You funny. Stay the spirit. It says, once they have filled their nets, they surface, gasping, and handle oysters to the Spanish taskmaster.
Here it is.
Who sits in a space. I can't make that word. Or a canoe. So he's just chilling there.
Yep.
Don't come up yet.
Probably has a stick. He's poking him.
I'm sure.
Pushing him back down.
If they spend more than a few seconds at the surface to get their breath back, he will punch them or grab them by the hair and push them back under, making them dive once more. Gosh. Their only food is fish and then only oysters. Plus, perhaps, some cassava bread. They bake with cassava flour throughout the region. The oysters providing little in the way of sustenance and the cassava being extremely hard to make. They are kept perpetually hungry. At night, they are shackled, chains, right,
mm-hmm.
to prevent them from escaping and have to sleep on the hard ground. Often when out fishing or searching for pearls, a man will dive never to resurface. For the poor wretches are easy prey to all manner of sharks.
We didn't even talk about that part.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Fair enough, you got to swim and you got to deal with all the stuff that's down there. Piranhas, barracudas. Well, piranhas are in rivers, I think, a lake, but barracudas, all kind of stuff. Jellyfish.
Bro, just the mere fact that it said from dawn till dusk and you can come up and if you breathe for more than a few seconds, he pushes you back down. That in itself.
How do you even do that? How's that even possible, man? I'm a decent swimmer, but.
Yeah, right.
Damn.
This man got to go.
Oh, jeez, man.
This man has got to go.
No, this is crazy.
That's insane.
It says, for the poor wretches are easy prey to all manner of sharks, those most ferocious of marine creatures capable of swallowing a man whole. Yo, how do you work like that? Yo, you talk about hazardous pay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
You get hazardous pay because you got to climb on ladders. These poor men were and boys had to go ahead and swim in the ocean, bro.
That's bananas.
One can see just how closely the greed of those Spaniards involved in the profitable enterprises of pearl fishing induces obedience to God's commandment to love him and to love one's neighbor, for they place their fellow creatures in peril of both body and soul. Yet they teach Christianity and that
yeah,
Christ
right.
came and loves everybody?
Right.
This same man that wrote this was teaching that with a cross in hand with an Edomite on it. By condemning them to this quite unbearable toll, or to put it more accurately, this living hell, give me Isaiah 5, please. Presses have exterminated the entire population of the Bahamas. Not a single soul living there when the Spanish first discovered this trade having survived. So in his infinite wisdom, the Most High had to put the spirit on them to bring, replenish with
That's
more
right. Yep.
Northern and Southern Kingdom.
Yep.
You got it?
The book of Isaiah, chapter 5, verse 13. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity.
Gone into captivity, slavery.
Because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst.
With thirst. Thirst of what? Of our true nationality, of who we are, the laws, statutes, and commandments, of our heritage, of this history that we're bringing out. They're famished. They think that the Caucasian man and woman is their God,
mm-hmm.
is their friend, is their neighbor. Go ahead.
Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure.
What did he say here? By condemning them to this quite unbearable toll, or to put it more accurately, this living hell. Hell is a condition, just like heaven is a condition. Okay, yes, it's a place where the spirits and the Most High is, but heaven is a condition. The Lord's Prayer says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The earth is going to be at peace when this Caucasian man is destroyed and we are put back in our rightful place of rulership. So this earth, the whole earth, and all the planets in the universe are going to be heavenly.
That's right.
Those chariots are just itching.
Itching.
And like Bishop Yaroslav says, we activating them every time we bring this
That's
up.
Why it says in Revelation, hold back the winds.
Hold back the wind. The armies.
To hold back something means that you have, like, okay, listen.
They're ready.
They're ready.
They're like double dutch, right?
Tell me when to go.
They
want to
get in.
Yeah. Right?
Tell me when to go.
They're ready.
Is it now, Lord?
Yeah, right.
Nah, not yet.
Not yet.
Is it now, Lord? Nah, not yet. They ain't really ready yet.
Mm. Mm-mm.
They ain't ready to get ready.
They ain't ready to get ready.
Says the, is that it on it?
No. It says, therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it.
He that rejoiceth shall descend into it. That's where they're going.
Yep, right.
They rejoiced in all of this. Talk about he, meaning the Edomites and all the other nations. Because it's predominantly the Edomites that are oppressors, but all the other nations are involved too. Trust me.
That's right.
It says the oppressors have exterminated the entire population of the Bahamas. I want to focus on that. The oppressors, stress that. The pearl divers fetch 50 or 100 Castilians on the open market because of the great skill of the Bahamians as swimmers. And again, that's Benjamin.
Yep. Yep.
I tell you, Benjamin are good swimmers too, man. When I was stationed in Cuba, man, we had Benjamites that would come over from Jamaica to work there.
Mm-hmm.
And they had this one Benjamite, that dude, man, he would swim with hoodwinked, arms tied. Yeah, I mean, you know, with a head car.
Yeah, right.
This dude was a beast.
Yeah.
Diesel too, bro. Diesel. He was
like, and he could sing and he can cook.
Yeah, bro. Everything.
And, man. And he had 19 jobs.
He did everything. Yeah. Everything.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah. Despite an okay, the pearl divers fetch 50 or 100 Castilians on the open market because of the great skill of Bahamians as swimmers, and they are sold despite an unusually enlightened ban on these auctions issued by the justices. The pearl fisheries have been the grave of countless non-Bahamians also, drafted in from other parts of the New World, meaning us Azarit, okay? To the province of Paria, the title of this chapter is called the River Yuyapari. Through the province of Paria runs the River Yuyapari, which extends upstream more than 200 leagues. In 1529, one of these miserable adventurers made his way many leagues upstream together with 400 or so of his men. There they found people living quietly. But wait a minute. They said that we were in war.
Yep.
That they only took people that was in war against them.
Yeah. That was the protocol.
Yeah.
It says they were there they found people living quietly in their homes and on their lands. Their lands. Mm-hmm. And doing harm to nobody. Among these innocents, they proceeded to create mayhem. That's all they do, bro. Your spirit ain't upright.
Bro, you know what's like real beautiful about this? Like really? Is that what purpose was it that he even drew these things and wrote these things? Other than the fact in these last days that the Lord said he would not leave us comfortless. To have these things to be able to tie into the scriptures to show that the Northern Kingdom are indeed the Israelites that the Bible speaks of. Because I mean really, like really, really think about it. Like what was the whole point of this?
Dude. Spirit, bro. I don't know. I don't know what to say, man. It's what it is, bro.
That's the point I'm making, is that the Lord said, okay, you know what? I'm going to have you do this. That way, and because the Lord sees time different, right?
Right.
So he said, so that way in 6 minutes when these people kind of get together, they can reference these things to say, you know what? These curses fit these people as well.
Right, in 6 minutes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's good, man. It says, among these innocents, they proceeded to create mayhem, killing large numbers of them. Just because, bro.
It's crazy.
Dude, just because they did it. Again, what makes you kill somebody and eat them?
Right.
Yet we're the savages.
Yep.
Killing large numbers of them, burning them alive, and putting them to the sword. You brought out that scripture about the sword. They were going to be the sword. Their lands destroyed. The people abandoned much of the territory in their terror.
But we were at war with them.
Just like think of that. They say, oh, look at these savages. Even though we know this is not the case. Look at these savages wearing leaves. Quick, grab them and eat them. Like, how is that even, like, justifiable as far as bringing some type of culture to us?
Again, bro, their spirit ain't upright in it, man. That, nobody normal does that. They're not normal, man.
Hannibal.
Yet we look up to them as gods or as a god. The mere fact that you had that image of Caesar Borgia, the fake image of Christ on your wall, you enjoy white supremacy.
Absolutely.
And you accept that thing and you condone that thing. You have no, if you have that picture in your house, you have no right to say anything.
Yep.
Don't say, oh, the man on it. You have no right. No right whatsoever to say a damn thing. All you need to say is, show me the scriptures. Show me who I am. What do I need to do? It says, eventually this villain, look at the names that even this guy called his own people.
Yeah, right.
He was a villain too. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. He had slaves, right? This villain came to a sticky end and his fleet was dispersed. Give me the one that says, shall be upon thee forever. His curses.
Oh, gosh.
One group of Edomites left. And another group came. We thought we were fine, right? We have no rest.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture said this ain't our rest right here.
Okay. This is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28 and verse 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee, and they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever.
This is an example. They kept coming. One group of evil ones, Mosai took them away. They said, oh, they're still not repenting. I'm going to send another group.
Yep.
Y'all that don't understand this and wonder why are we cursed, right? Because we used to say that growing up.
Yep.
My mother would say that this family's cursed. And I remember that. When I got into this truth, I said, and was shown Deuteronomy 28, I was like, yeah, we were cursed. Because we were wicked as all get out.
Yep.
You damn right we cursed, and we still are cursed, right? We still under the curses.
Well, I mean, that's what Christ said. He said that the scripture can't be broken.
Right.
So
right. So
they're going to continue to follow us and follow us and follow us until that 144 is
still. I'll give you an example of this, what I just read and what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
The brothers and sisters in Dimona, Israel.
There you go.
They thought they were good.
There you go.
And now they're being extradited out of
bro, this. They are actually the ultimate example of the curses following you because they followed the whole flee doctrine, went back, right, to go to their to the homeland, and then had no medical, had no food, had no nothing.
Had a fight.
Bro, stop.
In Esau's military.
Stop.
And now they're being deported.
Yep. First off, they were put in the wasteland. Well, I mean, Israel itself is a wasteland.
Right.
But they were put where there's like...
radiation.
Thank you. Well, radiation, everything else.
I got to be honest with you. If I would have taken that trick, right, and I saw that they were putting us in a place like that, I would have been like, oh, no, I think we did the wrong thing. We got to get the hell out of
yeah,
here.
Right. Yeah, right. Hold on. Yeah. The next flight back to the Bronx. Hold on.
Right, yeah. Right, right. This ain't the kingdom described in the scriptures.
Not
that the walls are going to be jasper and all different colors, and it's going to be an exorbitant amount of acres after thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of acres,
bro. No,
that are clean and pure
not
with gold on the pavement.
Not even close. Like not even.
At what point didn't you realize that that wasn't the right thing to do?
At what point you realized that that wasn't the look? You know
not a
saying?
Good look
like,
whatsoever, man.
Like, you know what? I think this may not be the look.
Check this out. The villain came to a sticky end, and his fleet was dispersed, but others came after him, ravaging the land. Give me that in Lamentations.
Bring it out.
Killing the people and dispatching to hell these poor souls for whom the Son of God died on the cross. How does he know that?
Yep.
See, if
that's
you,
the heaviest thing that
dude,
you brought up the whole
that's
whole
why I wanted to leave
yeah.
that right there.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah, I don't know if y'all caught what. I got to read that again.
You got to.
Because that debunks everything that video said about this man.
Everything.
If you knew they were the Son of God, that they were the chosen, and that Christ died for us, that's what he just said here. These poor souls for whom the Son of God died on the cross for. He didn't say for whom the Son of God died for all of us,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in addition, he didn't say that. But you read this and you don't know the scriptures and that'll go right over your head.
Right. There's no scripture that says in addition to the sons of
no.
Israel. There's no scripture that says that.
And again, for those that believe, oh, the New Testament says it. Mm-hmm. No, we debunked that many times over.
Proving that they knew the roadmap of how we got here. They followed the same roadmap. They knew who was here. That's why they brought Hebrew translators, everything, man.
Dude, they brought Hebrew translators.
That's
why? If you're going to India
yeah.
or China, wherever the hell you claim you were going, you would bring Elamese, if that's the word.
Elamese, yeah, that was good, bro. That was good. That's from the hip, too. That was good.
Right? Or Moabese.
Yeah, there it is.
Right?
Oh, man.
You don't. Why are you bringing Hebrew translators to? Doesn't make any sense.
Nope.
And that's documented.
Yeah.
Well, I told you to get?
You said Lamentations.
Yeah, go ahead.
The book of Lamentations, chapter 4 and verse 19. Is that what you wanted?
Yeah, because it says, ravaging the land, killing the people, and dispatching to hell these poor souls for whom the Son of God died on the cross.
No, that's not what you wanted.
You wanted 5?
Yeah.
The book of Lamentations, chapter 5 and verse 1. Remember, O Lord, what has come upon
Wait,
us.
Where did you go to?
4 verse 19.
4:19.
No, 5.
Okay. Remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Consider and behold our reproach. Our inheritance is turned to strangers. Our houses to aliens.
We just read that.
Yep.
That's what they did. Wave after wave. Go ahead. Is that it on that?
We are orphans and fatherless. Our mothers are as widows. We have drunken our water for money. Our wood is sold unto us. Our necks are under persecution. We labor and have no rest.
Hey, and I'm glad I just read a comment says this is why Esau is forced to start confessing what they know about the chariots. Dude, they know the time is close.
Oh yeah.
And
sure.
Again, that's going to be smooth words and bamboozlement.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that is. They know who those chariots are. Notice I said who they are.
Right.
Not what they are.
Yep.
Who they are. That's top of the class.
Bro, just that in itself right there with the whole last sentence that you read about him knowing that that's who Christ died for.
Dude, I got to read it again because that's
it was
exactly
insane.
What it says. Remember, this is the chapter that's titled The River Yudapari.
Mm-hmm.
And in the original book, it's page 95.
It says, but others came after him, ravaging the land, killing the people, the people.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget that, viewers, the people, and dispatching to hell these, the same people. Got to break it down, right?
Yep.
These poor souls for whom the Son of God died on the cross.
So he knew that there was a distinction between people in general, right?
Right.
So this is why here in Malachi 1, verse 4, where it says, whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. They shall call them the border of wickedness, the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever.
Right.
So he knew that there's a people who God has indignation with, and there's a people that Christ died for. He knew that. But it's our people in these last days that don't seem to understand that thing.
Hey, that's heavy, because let me explain something to you. Besides the fact that their spirit ain't upright, that's the way the Most High God made Esau.
Mm-hmm.
Because they knew that we were God's chosen, and they were just impoverished, just based on what you read. They just got back on their feet from the ass whooping that we gave them from 193 A.D. up until 1453. The medieval times we were ruling, the Israelites, blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans.
That's right.
Okay? That's why Othello, he's depicted, he's a black man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That was during that time. King James, a black man.
Shakespeare.
Mozart. Dude, you're in the spirit, because I was going to post that picture up here.
Yeah.
I think you posted it.
A bishop posted it, and I reposted it.
Dude.
Yeah, Soldier Bishop.
He said,
if that ain't Jake.
Shout out a bishop.
Yeah, we were at my daughter's high school. We went in the basement because we had to register her. This is a couple years back. And they had all the great composers, right? The picture frame of Mozart was missing, but the placard was there.
Yeah, because they conformed that placard. Yeah. They do them with the kinky type.
Yeah.
Kinky instead of actually woolly.
Yeah, right. That picture was on point. Just like the King James one.
You know what's funny about that, too, is that actual Edomites in that time, how come they were trying to have white woolly hair? Right? They would all wear like the little wigs that were white in the courts.
They put the wigs on.
Yep.
All that.
Yeah. That's where the term big wig comes from.
Come on.
The bigger the wig, the more wealth you display.
As much as our people try to be like them, they've always tried to be like us. Always.
Always.
Yep.
Because they know who we are. They're trying to get some of that salt, some of that flavor.
There it is.
Yeah, the Swiss guard. Even the, some of the Amaleks that wear the fur caps.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
That's
he
true.
Did this. He did this.
I know. Yeah, I'm thinking, but I know what you're talking about. The fur cap.
Yeah, right.
Kind of an oxymoron, a fur cap. All right. The Kingdom of Venezuela. Notice I'm going through all the tribes so far. Guatemala, okay, which will be Zebulon. Right? Guatemala's in Central America, right? Yeah, that will be Zebulon. Mm-hmm. Venezuela's Asher, right? Am I
right? Right, yeah.
Yeah, Guatemala, Central America, right?
Right.
With Nicaragua, El Salvador.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So we went over there. He gives me that look, bro.
He said, bro, it's live, bro. Confirmed, yes.
Let's get it right.
He gave me that look. I'm like, hold on a second. I know it's late, man, but I guess senior moments here and there, but I'm pretty sure I was correct. Okay. It says, the Kingdom of Venezuela. My last observation on the savagery of these brutes is this, and they call us brutes, by the way. Over the 16 years since first they arrived in the region, they have sent shipload after shipload of natives for sale in Santa Malta or on the islands of Hispaniola, Jamaica, and Puerto Rico. In all, they must have dispatched more than a million of them. And there's no way he was able to count. That's just how many there was. So there was way more than that.
Yep.
In this way, and the traffic is still going on today. In 1542, with the Royal Audiencia of Hispaniola, which could easily put a stop to it. Deuteronomy 28:68.
Bring it out.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, and verse 68.
Cousin Spirit, I turn right to it.
And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships.
Into captivity, bondage, slavery again. How? Through ships. That's how they moved us. We were the merchandise through ships. Got something else?
By the way whereof I spake unto thee, thou shalt see it no more again. And there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you.
And no man, we just read it. They have sent shipload after shipload. How much more proof do you need that Deuteronomy 28:68 is talking about us blacks and Spanish Native Americans in slavery?
None.
Hey, he knew that.
Yeah.
You know Deuteronomy 28:68 was on his mind when he wrote this.
Mm-hmm.
He was a priest, right? Falsely so-called. It says the only reason for enslaving, in his words, these natives is the perverse, stubborn, and purblind willingness of officials to pander to the insatiable appetite for money shown by these greedy villains, an appetite which has reared its head at every turn and which has led to adventurers of this type throughout the New World, using every trick in the book and sparing no form of cruelty to lead these docile people into slavery like lambs to the slaughter. Isn't that in the scriptures?
This guy's like really like taking all the blame off himself, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like zero accountability.
Yo, right?
It says that later on in life he changed, but I mean he's taking.
Not while he was doing this, he didn't change,
bro. He's taking like zero accountability off himself.
I don't know, like pop copy. I am your manager, B.
I got some real quick. Give me Psalms chapter 10 and verse 8. Psalm 10, verse 8.
This is the book of Psalms, chapter 10, and verse 8.
You know, let's read verse 7.
Verse 7. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity.
So this particular friar or
beacon
or whatever he wanted to call him, bro, he had like 19 titles. But guess what? He's still the devil the Bible speaks. It says that tongue was full of cursing, deceit, and fraud, right? It's mischief and vanity. Read.
He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor.
We read that they went and saw us living peaceably in our own lands, right? Mm-hmm. Peaceably. Then they came with the war. It says that those were the villages that our people lived in. And they came in to murder the innocent. And he privily set himself against the poor. Read verse 9.
Verse 9. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net.
So his net can be today, Christianity, politics, all these different things, the school system. But at that point in time.
Human rights.
Right, human rights. At that point in time, it was all these things that they had coming against our people. We were the poor. We are the poor. I mean, not at that time, as physically, right? We had all these abundance of jewels and riches. But because they're covetous spirit, they came against us as we were just chilling, bro. We were the peaceable ones. And then they came and said, oh, no, listen. These guys have to go down 30 feet and swim and can only come up for seconds of air during a 12-hour period. It's insane. Swimming with sharks and everything else, bro. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. All those different examples of burning things, to have burn our skin, burning us to death, cutting off limbs. That's that lion that was coming against the innocent people of God.
You read verse 10, please.
Yeah, go ahead.
He croucheth and humbleth himself that the poor may fall by his strong ones.
Go ahead.
So the reason I brought that one out is because they're painting a picture like he had a change of heart. And all the time, he's in his writings, he's putting the blame. But right here, it's saying that he hideth his face. He's humbling himself that the poor may fall by his strong ones.
Bro.
So he's part of the same nation that are actually doing the physical torture.
That's and, that crafty counsel.
Right, right.
He's trying to portray it. Like you said, y'all hit it right in the head. That's a perfect scripture.
He's distancing him, trying to distance himself.
But in the meantime, he's relishing in it.
Right, right. He's complicit.
He didn't round them all up and say, listen, let's get back on these ships and go back to where we came from, then he's complicit.
Man, they would have smacked them up, man. They would have made him go dig some pearls.
He was like,
Right. I withdraw. Yes, yes. Si, senor.
Check this out.
Read this again. It says, the only reason for enslaving these natives is the perverse, stubborn, and purblind willingness of officials to pander to the insatiable appetite for money shown by these greedy villains, an appetite which has reared its head at every turn and which has led to the adventurers of this type throughout the New World using every trick in the book and sparing no form of cruelty. All right, I'm going to stop right there. Give me Obadiah 5.
The book of Obadiah, verse 5. If thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grape?
Not Esau.
No.
Right?
Read 6 to prove it.
How are the things of Esau searched out?
This is how they roll.
Go ahead.
How are his hidden things sought up?
You know how they're sought up? By the Power Hour Plus every Wednesday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Arizona time.
That's right.
Where you can call in at 516-531-9797.
We also broadcast on Saturday at 11 a.m. Arizona time. That's how those things are sorted up.
That's right.
All praises to the Most High God. I'll continue reading. It says, New World using every trick in the book and sparing no form of cruelty to lead these docile people into slavery like lambs to the slaughter. Check this out. And branding them, their wives and their children with the king's mark. Branding them. Was that not done to Southern Kingdom as well?
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
That was proof of who your owner was. Check this out.
Yeah, that was. So this is the original Willie Lynch, right? So this is like the Guillermo Lynch letter right here.
You know what?
It was the same tactics.
I'm glad you brought that up because this was part of.
You said because I just happen to have something. It's all subtle. You brought it because I happen to just have this here as
because,
well too.
Because I was in denial that I would go through all of this like we are on every radio show.
It happens.
But I'll probably have to continue on Saturday. But you're correct. Because this came way after this.
Yep, way after. Yep.
So all Willie Lynch, if that's a real person, right? Cause that's still, you know, according it is a real person. But it was that it was a pseudonym supposedly for what a slave owner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Based on that, how did he know about this? There's things new under the sun. The scripture says, right?
And plus, because I've had people argue and say, well, he was never a real person. But
doesn't matter.
But the tactics and ideologies.
No, it doesn't matter if he was a real person or not. That's not the point. This is part of their elusiveness. This is part of their crafty counsel to bring up that argument. No, we're reading that this is exactly what they did when the Spaniards came.
Mm-hmm. So whether it was Willie or Guillermo.
Or Guillermo, you know, right, which is William in Spanish, right?
It's the same thing.
Right.
Bro.
Right. They still did the same exact thing, used the same exact tactics that to this day, Northern Kingdom, y'all have an issue with dark-skinned Northern Kingdom.
That's right.
And dark-skinned have an issue with light-skinned Northern Kingdom, which was one of the tactics that Willie Lynch said to do.
Me no negro.
Right.
Yeah.
To the point where if you're from Puerto Rico, Loisa or Santulce, those were the dark Ephraimites live.
Mm-hmm. Shadow Captain Abio.
Yep. Right. Right. Carolina, another place.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I remember when I was living there. Check this out.
Remember when we first touched down?
Yeah, right. Exactly. It says, they would slaughter the people with impunity. And those they took alive, they either tortured to death in an attempt to get them to tell of other towns where there might be gold or the whereabouts of more gold in their own town. Or else they branded them as slaves. Give me Joel 3 and 3.
The book of Joel, chapter 3 and verse 3. For my people, and have given a boy for an harlot, and sold a girl for wine that they might drink.
Natives were sold to buy wine,
mm-hmm.
oil and vinegar, salt pork, items of clothing, a horse, or whatever else the butcher and his men imagined they might need. They just store the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think,
yeah.
A necklace of fingers would be good. Go cut that hand and make it up. You know, I'm saying this is the maniacal. I'm not even being funny, man. It's the maniacalness of that.
Sure.
It says a man would be invited to choose from among 50 or 100 young girls. The one he most fancied, and she would then be handed over in exchange for an arroba.
Page, I'm not going to get it right now.
Oh, for an arroba of wine or oil or vinegar or for a side of salt or pork. Read that again.
Joel chapter 3 and verse 3. And they have cast lots for my people and have given a boy for an harlot and sold a girl for wine that they might drink.
We just read that, right? But check this out. What was the other part it said about the boys? A boy for a harlot?
And have given a boy for an harlot.
Okay. They use them as breeders.
Yep.
Check this out. 200 or 300 young men would be lined up in a similar fashion, the price being much the same. It happened that one young man, the son of a chief, or cacique, was traded for a cheese, On another occasion, 100 natives were exchanged for a single horse. This went on for 7 years. And you know what else they did with them?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly what you just read.
Bro, 100 natives for one horse.
For one horse. What I mean is the mere fact that you even had 100 natives and still had more to still do your work.
Yeah, right.
Meant you, this went on for 7 years from 1526 until 1533. And during that time, the whole region was devastated and the native population enslaved or massacred without quarter. In 1533, the people of the area were granted a short respite from this hell, with the Spaniards leaving in response to news that great wealth was to be had in Peru. Oh, so all they did was go to our other Asher brothers and sisters.
Yep.
It said they would live in the dew of heaven and the fatness of the land.
Right.
But it would all be by the sword. This is how they did.
So they landed in so-called Hispaniola. So how do they know to get over to Venezuela, to Peru,
right,
to all those things?
Right.
To Guatemala, all
right,
those things.
Right.
Because they knew exactly what they were doing, man.
They knew exactly what they were doing. They knew the scriptures. Columbus set the way for them. Remember, this is after Columbus. He paved the way for them.
Yep.
The Most High allowed him. Right? Because man's goings are of the Lord. Pondereth all his goings, right? It says, with the Spaniards leaving his brought to Peru. But it was not long before the commanders were back and they're relentless. Hey, isn't that what goes on now around the world? They go to Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to get in Iran. That's what it's all about at the end of the day.
Yep.
They killed Gaddafi in Libya.
Right.
South Africa. This is their MO. This is how they roll. This is in their spirit. And this was their blessing.
Yep. But, like, notice he don't say that he was there on the front lines with the natives fighting with them,
no,
right? It's always, and I was there with my pen and pad to quickly document all these atrocities.
And I couldn't believe what I saw.
By these villains and tyrants.
Oh, man. It says, but it was not long before the commanders were back and the hellish round of atrocities, robberies, and enslavement was once again in full swing.
Gosh, bro, this guy's funny. And my pen couldn't write fast enough all the things that were happening to this poor people.
I'll tell you what, for not having the technology that we had today, he sure drew some damn good pictures,
you know,
boy. Detail, too. Check this out. Dan, do you have the picture up there of the Spaniard holding a baby, a Northern Kingdom baby, in one hand? And something? Oh, and the arm. Wow.
Bro, it's mind-blowing to just even think the fact that he drew these things of live things happening.
Yo, how could you stay there composed?
That's what I'm saying. It'd be one thing if he described it and someone else drew it to give a depiction of what it was. But this is live things that he stood there and said, okay, cool, let me just pencil down what this is happening. This, bro, it's insane, man.
Hey, keep talking. I'm gonna...
The author.
I'm gonna post a picture for you, producer.
Okay, go back to Joel 3 verse 3. That's where we left off, right?
Yeah.
Joel 3 verse 3.
The book of Joel, chapter 3 and verse 3. And they have cast lots for my people, and have given a boy for an harlot, and sold a girl for wine that they might drink.
They cast lots for the Most High's people. We can never forget the fact that the Most High has always made a distinction between the people and his people, and his people are the 12 tribes of Israel. And again, Christ made it very clear in the book of John, the 14th chapter and the 26th verse, when he says, I won't leave you comfortless. As much as we see these things and these things infuriate me of what happened to my people, it gives me comfort in knowing that the Most High used these things and used these demons, because although he was his sword, guess what? He's also being used to make his tongue fall upon himself too. He's telling on himself.
Right.
It says a man of sin has to be revealed in
right.
the last days.
Right.
So we're waking up and he's being revealed at the exact same time, because the Most High is a mastermind like
and
that.
And he's using that foolishness of preaching to
That's
get it
right.
done. Not that one. I don't want to see that one. But yeah, leave it up. You put it up already. This is Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Not the way they make him seem. This is Shakespeare. Look what it says there. What does it say? I can't see. This light is like right in my face.
It says, portrait statue of this great colored poet, actor, playwright, National Portrait Gallery, William Shakespeare.
And we didn't Photoshop that. That's an original damn news piece.
Does that not look like the uncle at all the cookouts that wants to control the barbecue pit?
Yep.
Yes, it does.
Yep.
He don't want no one to cook but him. That looks just like
Bruh.
Right there.
And that's the look he give you when he try to go next to the grill.
That's right. That's right. Grill master.
Boy, go. That's my grill.
You know what I'm saying? Uncle James right there.
Give me the other one. Check. Nope. There we go. It says underneath that picture, look at it closely. Look at everything going around, because again, this guy was so angry with
that
he even drew the mountains in the back. He drew every leaf. Like, I would just draw like stick people.
Yeah, right.
I'd be like, okay. I'll just, you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't even, you know, not that I'm autistic like that anyway.
He was the original Bob Ross.
This dude was Bob Ross.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, we got to have a tree. We got to have a branch coming off and over here.
Dude, he drew everything. Website. The anatomy of the women, everything. You can't look at this picture. It's not ambiguous. That's the point.
Mm-hmm. Right. You're right.
You could tell what everything is here.
It leaves nothing to the imagination.
And he did that for, right? Because he could have left some stuff out, right? Nah, he wanted to make sure that everything was in there. Check it out. It says, one woman determined that the dog should not tear her to pieces. Look at this. He's holding babies in each hand. And the dogs are just eating the babies. Tied her child to her leg and hanged herself from a beam. And that's in the upper right.
Jeez.
That's how bad it was that they preferred to kill themselves than to have the torture done to them.
No, like really, really think about how bad that must be. Because the bravest thing that you can do, really, is to take your own life. Like when you really think about it, bro. And then they would rather do that. And kill their own kids than to leave them in the hands of this, what did it say, this vicious commander or whatever it said, whatever titles he put on his own people that they all carry as well too. It's crazy.
It's crazy, man. Did we get any calls at all?
No, sir.
Okay. Let's see if there's any comments here the last few minutes. I'm not even done. That was what, 6 pages?
It's a lot.
I'll continue. Tune in.
It was the 6th of my 1,400 that I have to go.
Tune in. I'm going to continue this on the Power Hour on Saturday, this coming Sabbath. Okay. So tune in. We'll catch the replay. Let's see here. Right. There's a dude luring that kid away. I don't know. What's that? Put that picture back up. Let's see what he's talking about. Put that last picture up. You see anybody? Is that guy in the mountain in the back in the little heap?
Yeah. The very, very background.
And you know they're nasty. They stunk. Look at all that stuff they had. There was no need to wear that. Yo, it's hot as hell in the Caribbean. How do you wear that? They didn't take that stuff off. Because once you take, that's like nylon socks, right? So once you take that off, you know you can't put nylon socks back on.
Yeah, right.
Can't do that. Feep yourself
out
of that thing. Right? Oh.
The other book goes into how they would wear their chonies till they disintegrated.
Yep.
That's why it's the same thing.
And then,
a 13th tribe.
For those that may be listening and not know what chonies means,
13th.
That's talking about your undergarments.
said Jody.
Arthur Kester, right?
Arthur Kessler, yeah, who mysteriously committed suicide with two gunshot wounds in his head.
In the back of his head.
In the back of his head.
Yeah.
Can't make this up. He's so damn dead with a Bible speaker, boy.
You guys have any closing thoughts, man?
No, man. Hey,
2 minutes
no,
left, man.
Just hey, listen, Israel, listen. listen. Yeah, give me Romans 13, verse 11.
Bring it.
Because each and every single last one of us, brothers and sisters, have to realize that we have such a huge responsibility, and we can't take nothing that we learn and read and gather for granted, because the scripture says that as a wave crashes, that wave is who's going to be destroyed. The drop from that big wave is going to be who makes it. So we have the eyes to see and the ears to hear, and we can't forsake those things and take it for granted and take it lightly. We have a big job to do. The only way that we can avenge our forefathers and foremothers is staying in the spirit.
The book of Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe.
So this goes for anybody that maybe even in the repentance process, it's time for all of us to wake out of sleep and start putting on the full armor of God and stop half-stepping in this truth. You can't be one toe in the world and then one foot in the truth or vice versa. We have a big job to do because Bishop brings it out. The stuff happening in the Middle East, our salvation is nearer than we believe. And it's things like that we have to put into our spirit. That way, when the Lord does return, we can have that righteous anger and indignation to do these things back to what they did to us, man.
All praises, all praises. Well, that concludes the show for this evening. Pray that you were edified in the scriptures first and foremost and in our history. And like I said, tune in this Sabbath. I'm going to continue this as well, Lord willing, life lasts. All right, so with that, we say shalom.
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 I guess the music's playing.
I just want to make sure that he cut it. To the...
Yeah. Did you ask him? Where did he cut it?
Is the show-off producer?
Sir.
Oh, okay. You already cut it.
And of course, right when it ends, my wife was texting me.
Y'all good, Cap. The mics are off.
Ask her.
Yeah.
Can you hear us?